The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more. Today's episode on the Clean Power Hour is a homecoming. I got into the solar industry in 2016 because a gentleman named Paul Johnson called me. He cold called me on a Sunday out of the blue. He found my phone number on LinkedIn and called me. And he said something that was very eye-opening, and that was that we had reached grid parity with solar in the United States or in North America. Paul is Canadian. My guest today is Canadian, and a company that Paul works with very closely called Hybrid Power Solutions, dedicated to decarbonizing mobile storage or mobile power for construction, for off-grid, and for all kinds of mobile solutions. But this is how the world works if you're open to it, right? When opportunity knocks, you say, yes, please, more. And in 2016, I did that when Paul called me. So thank you, Paul, for calling me. It's the ride that I've been on since then is truly amazing. I have learned so much and met so many wonderful people and am truly now part of the energy transition. All thanks to you. So with that, I give you Francois Byrne of Hybrid Power Solutions.
Are you speeding the energy transition? Here at the Clean Power Hour, our hosts Tim Montague and John Weaver bring you the best in solar, batteries, and clean technologies every week. Want to go deeper into decarbonization? We do too. We're here to help you understand and command the commercial, residential, and utility solar, wind, and storage industries. So let's get to it. Together, we can speed the energy transition.
Today on the Clean Power Hour, clean portable power for construction and mobile applications. My guest today is Francois Byrne, CEO of Hybrid Power Solutions. We are going to geek out on the world of ruggedized portable battery storage for mobile applications. Before we do that, check out all of our content at cleanpowerhour.com. Give us a rating and a review on Apple and Spotify, and please tell a friend about the show. We do this for you twice a week. We really appreciate you being here. And reach out to me on LinkedIn. I love connecting with my listeners, or at the website cleanpowerhour.com. We have a number of upcoming events. Check out the events tab for all of our webinars. Francois, welcome to the Clean Power Hour.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It was great to get to know you a little bit in our pre-interview, and looking forward to bringing this content to my audience. You know, I've been a fan of mobile batteries since I got into the RV world a few years ago, and then I bought a portable power bank for camping. And you know, these batteries that are as small as a kilowatt hour or less, and then up to several hundred kWh, are becoming more and more common. And our listeners, you know, in the construction sector, our solar installer friends and colleagues will appreciate that, you know, when you're on a construction site, you have many needs for portable power, for charging up your tools. And many times you will have a mobile generator that runs on gasoline or diesel, and you're in the business of cleaning that up. So give our listeners a little background on yourself, Francois. How did you get interested in energy storage? And then we'll go into the hybrid power solutions.
Yeah, sounds good. So to tell you a little bit about myself, so I kind of fell into what I do right now to a certain degree. So, I did study renewable energy engineering back some time ago, and really just did not like electricity. And I think that a lot of that stemmed from just, lack of comprehension. But then I got thrown onto a formula hybrid race car team, and they don't do this anymore. They've kind of split it out, so it's no longer hybrid. It's either all electric or all gas. And I was the only guy who they called electrical. So I had to figure out how to make a battery system that would win races. And yeah, kicked, hollered and screamed when they told me this, and did a terrible job at the start, but then really got to know batteries in an intimate manner. And it opened up this world of, holy, this can do some really, really, really cool stuff. And then after that, I ended up becoming a product designer for a railway company. And that's when I was like, you know, we've got this crazy potential in batteries with these little tiny motors that we can grab instant torque, no emissions or low emissions if we create a hybrid system. This is, you know, this is a winning combination. And then we were doing some prototype, and I got a patent there working at this company. And it was, you know, this holy wow moment when we were presenting to clients that they're going, so you mean I can do this many things with this little tiny guy, and I just got to pull a trigger? Yeah, that's right. And, you know, fast forward a little bit into 2015, and got on the entrepreneurial voyage, if you want to call it that. And really was just chasing that opportunity that I really discovered early on in my career. And so start off with a kind of a mission, if you want to say it, and then became product. And that's what Hybrid Power Solutions is today. We are really more than just a product. We actually, you know, a solutions provider. At least that's what we're aiming for. And we build basically fuel-free and hybrid systems from 3,000 watts up to 150,000 watts. And obviously you can scale up from much higher, you know, much, much more than that. And who we're geared towards is, you know, we're not going to be your utility scale provider. You know, we're not there to provide hundreds of megawatt hours of energy storage. What we are doing is we are basically eliminating the need for gas and diesel generators. And that's a super broad market, but it could be everything from military to mining to construction. I mean, there is not a single building that's gone up where they haven't used at some point some form of gas or diesel generator. So put it into perspective for you.
Yep. Yeah, when you look around at the built environment, you're looking at a sea of generators, basically, that was involved in the construction of that built environment. And we definitely want to and can now clean that up. One angle here is that you want to be charging that battery with renewable energy, if at all possible. That's sometimes possible and many times not possible until we completely green the grid, of course, which is also happening, you know, to the tune of something like 40 gigawatts of solar being added to the American grid this year in solar power. So anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah, the connection between electric transportation and stationary storage is, you know, is very direct. You see Tesla, for example, you know, going after cars first, but then stationary storage, and that's a big part of their business. And they are today one of the leaders in stationary storage. So fantastic product overall. But Francois, why construction? What was it about that application that kind of sparked your imagination?
Yeah, you know, it's to go back a little bit. So you know, 7-8 years ago, we found that the mining industry was just desperate for a solution that didn't have any fumes. It had nothing to do with the green aspect. And quite frankly, I really don't sell much on you know, I don't say here's a clean power alternative. I say here's something that's going to save you money. Because then people start listening. And then I also say this is a lot safer than what you're currently using, and your guys are going to like it too. And I, you know, this is the thing, right? I one part of my background that I didn't talk about is I used to pull cable on a railway, like digging trenches, right? And I was using a generator day in, day out, and I was 10 feet away from this thing for 10-hour shifts. There is no other lesson in the world than discomfort when you're standing right near these super cheap, loud gasoline generators and having to refuel them. And quickly I realized that, you know, it's yes, okay, you know, they love the clean thing and it's a great marketing, and, you know, ESG departments are going to love it, but you have to sell on this is going to make your job cheaper and your guys are going to be, or girls, they're going to be a lot happier. And that's where we saw this niche, and it really needed to be changed in this massive market opportunity, right? Like, we can talk about construction all day long, which is fantastic, but think about the other applications, right? All these work crews that are just doing maintenance. I mean, if you're talking about a solar panel farm, right? How many times do you require some kind of equipment, lighting, or power on site, and you're having to roll in a diesel generator to put up your solar panel farm? I mean, it's kind of ironic in that where we could offer you a solution that's going to over time save you, 75 to 90% of your operating costs. And you don't have to hear this thing run in the back of your head all day long, right?
Yeah, the noise and the pollution from generators is very real and significant. And I'm curious how you explain this to a customer. Though today they've got a 5 kilowatt generator that is powered with fossil fuels. Tomorrow they have a what?
Yeah, and putting that, making that transition to the client where it clicks in their head is the biggest challenge we're going to have. And I think it's almost the same challenge that I'm going through with my friends and family right now about EVs. The upfront cost of an EV, okay, it's coming down significantly, but it's still probably 20% minimum over what an equivalent gasoline car is going to cost you.
Sure.
But I've got an EV, and I've saved over $6,000 in my first year just in fuel cost alone. Right. And so it's almost like prepaying for really cheap fuel down the road. And I think that's the best way to put this is that, hey, we're going to come in and you're not going to have to change any of the ways you do things. We're not going to change the way you do things. Okay. But we're going to set this up so you're actually saving a huge amount of money on maintenance and fuel costs. And that's the easiest way to go. Now, then we start talking about, okay, well, how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to do so your site. Okay. We can get away with all these small equipment that are going to run off of our 3 or 5,000 watt unit generator. And the reason for that is because you need something portable. Your guys are just using contractor lights. They're using coring drills and small equipment, jackhammers, stuff like that. So they're going to plug in right into the 5,000, 3,000 watts. All right, now let's go to your crane. You got an on-site crane on your construction site. Well, that's going to need some more power. That's going to be something a little bit bigger than that. So we'll do a larger system. For example, we've got a 150,000 watt unit coming up, or we've got a 24,000 unit that we've just built. And those are available in hybrid options. So right out the bat, even if we don't have space for any kind of solar, because these are all solar ready, they're all outdoor rated, they're drop and plug and play products, you can, even in a hybrid situation, you can save a huge amount of fuel using this product. I mean, Power 2 is a great example. I don't even want to say they're a competitor of ours, but they do this really well where they drop, you still have to have a diesel generator and rent a diesel generator, but you can hook these up to these diesel generators and right away you've created a hybrid system that's saving you like 75% of your fuel cost, right? And maintenance cost, which is phenomenal. Then you add on our side that one, the diesel generator is actually built in with the units. So it's all plugged in, wired in. Once again, it's that plug and play capability, right? You don't even have to have a guy on site plug this thing in. It's all ready to go. They just flick on, it's ready. But we also have that capability of adding solars. And we say, okay, well, construction site, how practical could a solar system be on a construction site? Well, we're designing basically a half an hour array. So within half an hour, you could have right now we're getting between 12 and 16,000 watts of array size put up in half an hour. So sure. You just give me, a footprint of 60 by 10 feet and I'll put up an array that's going to save you 95% off your fuel cost. And we're still going to have a diesel generator in the background that we've built into our system just in case, because you need to run 24/7, right? And that's our approach, right? We understand what the client actually wants and needs because we've done it. And I think that's the missing piece of the puzzle for a lot of other manufacturers out there.
Since my audience, really is solar installers, developers, financiers, EPCs, et cetera, right? Like when you say hybrid, they immediately think solar and battery. Now, mm-hmm. When you say hybrid, you're also including a diesel generator in that equation. There's no reason you can't have this both and, right? But if you don't have the solar, are you saving money with diesel and a battery? I'm just I just want to make sure we understand what the value proposition that you're making case for.
Yeah, 100%. So that's a good question. When we go on site and we don't have the capability of putting in a solar array, which happens. I mean, we've got downtown jobs or whatever that you don't have that capacity to deploy a solar system. The diesel and battery combo is so effective, and I'll tell you why it's so effective. It is effective because almost all industries overestimate their power consumption by over tenfold. If I go out on site right now and I go to a 25 kilowatt diesel towable, which is the most popular diesel generator out there, it is typically running between 2 and 3 kilowatts on a 25 kilowatt diesel generator. And that is because rental companies make a lot more money if they rent you that diesel 25 kilowatt instead of renting you a 5 kilowatt. Not only that, but the other thing is that, okay, well, maybe I have that one piece of equipment I use for half an hour once a week, that's going to draw 15 kilowatts. So I need that 25 kilowatts. The beauty of batteries is that for that half hour job, I can feed it with 24 kilowatts continuous on our Spark, one of our models, our most popular models. I can feed it with 24 kilowatts continuous and peak up to 48 kilowatts. But for the rest of the time that I'm averaging 2 to 3 kilowatts, it's just humming along really nicely and not wasting insane amount of fuel because this generator has been designed for, 25 kilowatts, not 2 or 3 kilowatts. So I think that's the beauty of batteries. And that's where you're going to see, up to 75% reduction using a generator battery system that doesn't have solar at all. And then now you're pushing. And then once you add solar, then you're really starting to push it, right?
Yeah.
So much higher numbers.
So what you're saying is when a diesel generator, I'm no expert on diesel generators. Okay. So I would venture that many of my listeners are not either, but they're familiar enough to know what they look like and sound
They probably even worked with them. Yeah.
But the generator is running at a minimum speed when the engine is on, right? It has to, it has to maintain a certain RPM in order to run, period. Right.
Exactly.
And that's where the waste is coming in, right? Because it's actually consuming more fuel ultimately than you would by storing some of that output in a battery and then shutting the generator off and using the battery, which has a much finer speedometer on it, basically.
That's exactly. And the best analogy I can make is think about running your car, your gasoline car, being on with your gasoline. So turning your engine on to run your radio. That is what people are doing. Yeah. And the big thing here is you hit the nail on the head when you said, the turning off point. What we do with our diesels is when in hybrid mode with diesel and battery, we're putting a much smaller diesel engine on there. So I can, on our 24 kilowatts, we do a 6 kilowatt diesel. And the reason we do that is because we just need to do average plus about 50%. And so average load plus 50%. And the reason we need the extra 50% is because we need to charge the battery at the same time. As well, right? So we do that and then we charge up the battery. It hits a certain percentage. We can dictate whatever that percentage is and it shuts off. So on a site, it may only run 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, right? On a heavy user, maybe 12 hours a day, but that's 50% less runtime. Not only that, I'm using a smaller generator and I'm running it at the peak efficiency. We look at that efficiency curve and we can set the load, the charging rate, basically to that precise efficiency. Now, the other thing on these 25 kilowatt generators and bigger is that they hate low power consumption. So they are not meant to run at these 2-3 kilowatt levels. It creates incredible amount of wear on the engines. And now with these new tiered emissions coming into play, they actually have to put load banks to run them at higher loads. Okay, so basically giant resistors are being put on these things just so that they can not ruin the engines and also meet their emissions requirements using DEF. So they actually have to waste power. So incredible, absolutely incredible waste. Just they're burning through power just so they can meet these emission requirements.
It occurs to me that maybe this is why diesel locomotives are often hybrid diesel electric because of this phenomenon that you're talking about, I don't know, you know something about trains, so I would guess you might know this.
You actually get the main reason actually on the trains is the torque value. So, I mean, that's okay. One thing electric is unbelievable at is instant torque, right? Yeah. So on trains, yeah, it's the minute you go from diesel to electric motor, you get, you know, thousands of foot pounds at zero RPM, which is awesome.
The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter, with over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S. The CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chintpowersystems.com to find out more. Got it. And then when you have a site where you do have enough space to put, you know, a 5 or 6 kW solar array to charge the battery, what kind of a racking system are you providing or recommending?
Yeah, so it really is very situational. So for a lot of solar installers, commercial solar installers, I should say, that are used to weird industrial job. There's a lot of like stuff we don't talk about that there. Like for example, municipal pumps. So there is a lot of municipal pumps that are run off of diesel generators 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 on a permanent basis. You probably don't even know about it. They're out in the middle of nowhere, and that's why they're running off diesel generators. They're not hooked up to the grid. But there's thousands of these. Mm. We can, in a matter of a day or a couple of days, depending on how quick you can install solar panels, a solar installer can come up, size up a system, an array, you know, maybe 5,000-6,000 watts, because these pumps typically don't run continuously. They're on a float of some sort, and put in a spark, weather rated, all ready to go, plug and play, and then they're done, right? And they've right there eliminated a diesel generator that was running 365.
Okay. So you're not necessarily selling some portable racking solution for a temporary solar installation. Is that, I understand. Sure. You can do a ground mount, traditional fixed tilt ground mount solar array. Okay, fine. That's our bread and butter in the solar industry. But when it comes to something that it needs to be movable, Is there a good solution for solar in that world?
There is. There absolutely is. And I can't say too much about it because it's in the design phase right now. It will be launching probably in the summer, and it will look very weird, but it is very cool. And you know, I've seen a lot of other companies do this where they kind of container and it folds out and it's these big glass panels and
5B, I think you're referring to.
Oh, yeah.
5B is an Australian racking company that does prefabrication in the factory. And then the panels are all wired up like an accordion, and then they just roll it out on the field. It's a real thing, and it's used for large-scale solar, I think mostly in other markets besides the U.S. today, but like Latin America and Australia.
Yeah. And then there's, I can't remember what the name is, but there is ones that actually mount these. So you basically ship a container, like a 20 footer, and then it's just got wings that kind of open up, and it's already got pre-built panels on the top.
Sure.
You know, I like that. Like it's super cool. I think the issue with them is the mobility aspect. So, you know, the reason I bring up this pump and this more permanent installation is because our products live in multiple different scenarios. Those temporary locations, and also the permanent fixed locations. So permanent fixed locations, you're going to go out there, you're just going to spend the extra time, you're going to put up a proper solar array, and you're just going to plug it into this thing, okay? You ever need to move, you're just taking down the solar array, the spark itself is just, you know, forklift, and you're good to go, or crane. Now, on a temporary job site, something that's, you know, sub 2 years, that's exactly what we're talking about now, is we're talking about I don't want to get too many details on it, but it is going to be a very similar to that accordion style panel array that you basically fold out on site. And that's, as I mentioned, it's, you know, my mission is a half an hour setup to get you a 10 to 18,000 watt array, which would be a game changer, I think, you know, and it all comes down to, we need to make, you know, as an industry, we need to make clean power easy. Because the guys who have been doing this for 20, 30 years on construction sites, I mean, you try to talk them about a new tool, All right. It's they won't even give you the time of day. Right. I'm not using that crap. Right. So you, that's what you're going up against here. So you got to make it so easy that even they can say, OK, that was really easy. OK. Right. and that's sure, you know, yeah. I think that's the attitude. You know, I approach this and our whole team here approaches this as we're selling you a really cool hammer. Like that's, we're going to sell you the hammer the same way we sell our product. And it's because it's going to do something really cool for you. And it's going to be really easy for you to use. And it's simple. We're not trying to say here's the coolest clean energy thing. And we don't even price out our, like when we create a solution for a customer, say they've, you know, got a whole construction site. We're not even going on the construction site and saying, you know, how many generators do you have or whatever. We're just saying, how many plugs do you need? Right. Make it that easy. Mm-hmm. That then they can't say anything, you know, and, yeah. And the really big advantage I think we have as an industry is that, we have data, right? Like these diesel generators are going out there and there's an analog amp meter and voltage meter on there. That's as good as it gets. And so with these new systems, these new products, we've got this whole telemetry going on in the background, right? Where we can tell, hey, these guys are using, they're not using 2-3 kilowatts. These guys are using 20 kilowatts continuous. We're approaching the max load on our generator. Our, you know, if you want to call it a generator, our alternative generator, it's time to ship a second one. We can do that preemptively before you lose power, before you overload your generators, right? I mean, that's game changing. And as a company, you know, as a business model, I think that's also game changing, right? You can be basically anticipating what the customer needs, and also in the opposite direction, right? We can say, hey, you're running a, you know, a 24 kilowatt model where you could get away with our 3 kilowatt model. Like, let's save you some money here.
The units come with built-in monitoring. Is that what you're saying?
They do. So all of our big ones right now come stock standard, and then as of May of this year, all of our smaller ones, and no price difference, but all of our smaller ones will include full telemetry on it. Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, super interesting. So we're building out the back end for it right now, where essentially you're a customer, you buy 100 units, it could be of multiple different sizes. You register them, and then you log into your account and you can see all 100 units. And you can see every single one of them, which one's outputting power, which one's taking in power at what level, which one's connected to solar, which one's not connected to solar, which one's being used, you know, cycle count. That means really important. It's the odometer of the battery world, right? And so you could see, okay, hey, look, this crew is using it like they've got 1,000 cycles in 2 years on this thing versus these guys use it 7 times. Why is that? Well, is that thing in storage? You know, and not only are we doing, you know, a Wi-Fi base, because Wi-Fi is, you know, it's useless outside the garage. So what we're doing is we're adding the capability of also doing cellular tower connectivity as well. Mm-hmm. And then down the line too, we may even add satellite connectivity. So you can see your units and also where they go. That's probably a bigger one. You know, we have a lot of transits and stuff. You know, public organizations who they just really want to know if these things are going home with anybody. So it adds that whole new level of connectivity that people are asking for. It also gives us the opportunity to do remote monitoring and troubleshooting, right? So somebody calls me up and says, "Hey, I've got issues." Well, okay, what's the serial number? They give out the serial number. Next thing you know, okay, it's been reset. It was a firmware update we need to do, and you're off to the races. And it just makes people, it ensures that people are operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think that's a really important part here is that, you know, we need to be focusing on making sure that these products, even though they may not be as tried and true as the diesel generators have been around for what, coming up probably on 100 years or something like that. We need to make sure that with technology, we can ensure that if they do go down for some reason, that we're getting them up and running as quickly as possible. And I think that's the big service aspect that we're going to be offering as well, not only through this remote monitoring and troubleshooting, but also just being there so that if a customer says, "Hey, look, I've got a unit down. I don't even know what the problem is. I'm just going to hand them a new one or a loaner unit." And the minute they got that, they're up and running right away. Right. And then I'll go take my time and look at what happened, you know. Fix it that way.
So what else should people know about this segment? It is a unique segment. I think it's very interesting. I'm fascinated by making things, you know, more weather resistant and rugged. You know, let's face it, things get beat up in on a construction site. They're getting lugged around, moved, dropped, run into, et cetera. What kind of challenges have you had to overcome to create very durable products?
I think the lesson here is that you can test all day long for months on end. You can test in your little lab and try to do all your work, you know, to make sure it's shock proof, vibration proof, dummy proof. But until you throw it out there, you're just never going to know what you get. And I think that's like, we've seen a lot of stuff. We've seen units fall off the back of a pickup truck because somebody forgot the tailgate down on the highway, right? Like that's the kind of stuff we're going up against. Or somebody drives a forklift through this thing. And those are the kind of experiences you're never getting in the lab. And, you know, I sort of assume every time we make a brand new product, yes, okay, I've got 8 years behind us. You know, we've got 8 years of designing this and really knowing robust stuff. But we automatically know that in the first year, we're going to find a new way that somebody broke it. And instead of saying, okay, well, hey, it was the customer's fault, we're just going to say, hey, we're going to give you a new one. And we're going to really take this one back because I want to see how we can make sure that this doesn't happen again. Right. And I think that's, that you can only pay for it in time, that experience, right. And I think it's really good that we've been in this game for so long because we've seen all these different scenarios. And that's why you see a lot of people jumping in and the consumer industry is an easier market to go after because they don't have to deal with this crazy kind of stuff. And we have to deal with some crazy people, but they don't have to deal with some crazy situations that these been in.
So you're making products for consumers as well?
We're not. No. So we don't target. No, we don't. You know, all of our products are designed for professionals. They are professional grade, industrial, commercial. Now, are there people who want that for their RV? 100%. There are people who are, you know, Outlanders or the new term for off-roading and camping. I can't remember what it's called, but
overlanding.
That's the one. Overlanding. Yeah. So there's a lot of guys into the overlanding or people into the overlanding now. And that's kind of a community that goes, hey, you know what? I'm spending $50,000-$60,000 on a truck minimum. My power pack needs to be the same grade as my truck. And they want to spend a little bit more and get something that's going to power a jackhammer or a giant air compressor or whatever they need. But that's not our primary industry.
Yeah. Sure. So when you think about decarbonizing construction, okay, mm-hmm. I think this is a very worthy goal, but how far along are we on this journey and what are the breakthroughs that you see coming that are going to make that, you know, a faster reality, so to speak?
Oh, that is a good question. I think that there's two elements here. The first element is I don't think today's technology, let me rephrase that. I do think that today's technology is advanced enough on the battery and energy storage side to meet the requirements that the construction, railway, mining, industrial guys need. Where there is a lack is in the, I don't want to say recharging infrastructure, but in the service portion to this system. And what I mean by that is that, you know, batteries are only an energy storage device. They do not make energy. So you've got a couple. So what are your other options? So you can go down a, you know, diesel, fossil fuel backup of some sort. Yes, it's an efficient way. Or you can do solar. But there's a lot of situations that the solar is just not feasible. So what is that next technology that's going to help us really create the perfect hybrid system? And, you know, I've had my hopes on hydrogen for a while, even alcohol-based fuel cells as a really nice alternative to a diesel generator. The big issue here is the cost. I mean, these fuel cells, a 5,000-watt fuel cells can go for $60,000, $70,000, right? Mm. And that doesn't include your tank and that doesn't include your fuel. So, you know, that I think is where the industry, if we want to really get rid of that diesel and gasoline generator completely, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, I think the best way to look at it is really kind of like the EVs. We had hybrids first, right? We had that hybrid and it kind of positioned the EV as, you know, a softer landing if you want. And that really, really helped. And I think we're going through that same transition right now. We're going in through that hybrid approach where we can have solar sometimes, but a lot of times we're going to still be relying on that diesel generator, that fossil fuel generator. But what is that next step? And I think that next step is going to be somewhere in that hydrogen or other power generation capability that is truly clean and deliverable, and or deliverable, I should say, because that's the thing, right? We need to be able to deliver fuel onto these temporary sites, because we don't have the luxury of being able to just plug into the grid. If we had that, we would just plug into the grid from the start.
Yeah. I mean, I'm long on hydrogen in the long run. I don't think it's going to be widespread in the next 5 years. Currently, you know, for batteries, for your application, lithium iron phosphate is probably the industry standard. In terms of battery technology, do you see any breakthroughs coming down the pike?
There's a couple of companies we're working with, and I can't spill the beans on that, which have some really interesting technology. And I think the big breakthrough is going to come in the form of safety. I think we're going to see that also in the near future for residential and commercial energy, like fixed energy storage solutions, where lithium is just, any lithium chemistry is inherently going to be somewhat unsafe. I'm not saying that it's dangerous. I think gasoline and diesel are much more dangerous. But what I'm saying is that to have a completely fuel, like flame-free, fire retardant battery, I think that's kind of the next step in technology. Yeah. Because there is this apprehension about moving to a battery system that could technically, you know, catch fire, right?
For sure.
So and this sort of leads into the conversation of you know, a lot of our customers are actually looking at this in twofold for our product. And maybe this is the way that we help the industry transition is they're looking at this. Okay, I've got temporary power on site. I purchase this product, or I rent it, or at least whatever it is. I get this product on site. I'm using it for my temporary power. I'm putting up the building. But then I'm taking the same system and I'm selling it back to the customer of that building and providing emergency backup power for that building in a stationary application. That's where, you know, people go, whoa, I just created, basically I bought an asset and resold an asset. And at the same time, I got almost free power out of it for a year, 2 years, or whatever it took me to build this thing. And so that's now you're saying, okay, well, I don't care about the price tag anymore. It doesn't matter if it's 20, 30% more expensive from the start. I'm selling it off at the end of this thing. I'm not selling off any generators. That's a sunk cost. And most of my cost is in fuel, so it has to be sunk. So that's, I think, where we're going to really see success, that dual use, right?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I want all of our listeners to check out all of our content at cleanpowerhour.com. We've had a variety of storage technologies on the show. We've had zinc, we've had organic flow batteries, we've had heat batteries. And so the energy storage space is blossoming and diversifying. Lithium ion does dominate today, but in 5 to 10 years, something else will come along. There's no question about it. But connect with us on LinkedIn and reach out to me there or on my website, cleanpowerhour.com. Francois, how can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so visit up on our website, hybridps.ca. I'm on LinkedIn. So Francois Byrne, just check me out there and feel free to shoot me a message if any of this resonated with you, especially if you're somebody who's, you know, actually in the trenches doing this kind of stuff. We design our product based on your request. So if you got anything you would love to see out of a battery or out of a portable microgrid, just let us know.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I'm Tim Montague. Let's grow solar and storage.
Thanks, Tim.
Hey, listeners. This is Tim. I want to give a shout out to all of you. I do this for you twice a week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving us your time. I really appreciate you and what you're all about. You are part and parcel of the energy transition, whether you're an energy professional today or an aspiring energy professional. So thank you. I want to let you know that the Clean Power Hour has launched a listener survey, and it would mean so much to me if you would go to cleanpowerhour.com, click on the About Us link, right there on the main navigation. That takes you to the About page, and you'll see a big graphic, listener survey. Just click on that graphic, and it takes just a couple of minutes. If you fill out the survey, I will send you a lovely baseball cap with our logo on it. The other thing I want our listeners to know is that this podcast is made possible by corporate sponsors. We have Chin Power Systems, the leading three-phase string inverter manufacturer in North America. So check out CPS America. But we are very actively looking for additional support to make this show work. And you see here our media kit with all the sponsor benefits and statistics about the show. You know, we're dropping two episodes a week. We have now over 320,000 downloads on YouTube, and we're getting about 45,000 downloads per month. So this is a great way to bring your brand to our listeners. And our listeners are decision makers in clean energy. This includes project executives, engineers, finance, project management, and many other professionals who are making decisions about and developing, designing, installing, and making possible clean energy projects. So check out cleanpowerhour.com, both our listener survey on the About Us and our media kit, and become a sponsor today. Thank you so much. Let's grow solar and storage. The Clean Power Hour is brought to you by CPS America, the maker of North America's number one three-phase string inverter. With over 6 gigawatts shipped in the U.S., the CPS America product lineup includes three-phase string inverters ranging from 25 to 275 kW. Their flagship inverter, the CPS250-275, is designed to work with solar plants ranging from 2 megawatts to 2 gigawatts. The 250-275 pairs well with CPS America's exceptional data communication, controls, and energy storage solutions. Go to chinpowersystems.com to find out more.